This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Ibrahim Sani here with me, 9:36 a.m. And on Pressing Matters this week, we have Joyce Goh, the Associate Editor on the Corporate and Capital Markets Desk at The Edge Media Group. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning.
So I was reading The Edge this morning, and your story in this issue is about the Star Media Group and yes. their plans to diversify into the expo and event space, right?
Yes.
And so, it's not just about the Star Media Group, it's about City Neon as well.
Yep,
it's
so their subsidiary.
Neon, Yes.
Okay. So you've been talking to some people, and a little birdie told you that they are in talks with potential partners to hold exhibitions in Australia, Singapore, and a Scandinavian country.
Yes, yes. This is City Neon.
City Neon.
In which Star has a 64% in. City Neon is listed in Singapore, and it's an exhibition, exhibition.
The EEIT.
Yeah, Event, Interior and Thematic Business segment of Star, in which it runs things like exhibitions of like Marvel and Transformers.
That is very cool. Okay, so, all right, so a couple of things here. When I first saw this, I was like, I didn't realize there was an EEIT, because I only had heard of MICE.
Yeah, that's right. Like meetings, incentives, MIC. Conventions, and exhibitions.
Okay, so this is a bit more specific, right? They've gone down to events and exhibition and interior and thematic.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, and City Neon is actually the first, Star's first venture into the events and exhibition industry. And so my story this week is on how I heard that City Neon is in talks to hold exhibitions in new markets. And these include the three markets that we've stated. And my contact informed me that the talks are ongoing. And if all goes well, the new cities might see exhibitions as early as next year. And they're in talks. I think they're looking for new markets because they have this rights to this Marvel and Transformers, things like that, right? So they might as well bank on that.
Well, let's talk about the rights, because I think that's fascinating. I mean, given that Marvel is so hot right now, you can't, you know, walk into a toy store without tripping over Captain America's shield. everyone wants to be part of this space. So they can leverage on characters like the Hulk, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, and Spider-Man.
Yes. I think
Not to mention X-Men, right? Because they're in the Marvel universe as well.
I think it's specific. So there are specific rights to... Yeah.
Exclusions to
certain characters.
So I'm not sure. The ones that I'm sure of are the ones that I wrote in the story. Yeah. And I think currently they have an exhibition in Paris, Marvel exhibition. City Neon has that from April to September. And I think end of this year, targeted to kick off the Transformers one in China. That would be huge because, you know, China's market.
The market is going to be just
huge. We were talking this morning about Wanda Dalian, the property group, moving into the theme park space, right? So now they want to, I mean, they've got like fake Snow White and Stormtroopers
as
well.
And the idea here is to challenge Disney outright. And I think that could be huge.
So, but the China market is huge. And I think them going to Beijing, when the show starts end of this year, somewhere end of the year, you know, holidays, Christmas, things like that.
But one thing though, I mean, I would see a huge challenge for City Neon would be their licensing cost, right? Because if you want to be part of this whole Marvel universe, you would have to pay quite a fair bit if you want to, you know, for licensing rights, etc.
Yes, but I think they've... So the licensing rights, they pay one off that time when they bought into like Victory Hill exhibitions. When they bought into Victory Hill exhibitions last year, I think it's a one-off payment. And then that's why UOB Kay Hian, the research house, recently upped their net profit estimates for City Neon. For 2016 to 2018 by 12% to 28%, because this is to account for inclusion of higher than expected licensing fees which City Neon would get. So I think that's why you'll be up, because I understand you'll be met with the management of City Neon, and they explain to them the mechanics of City Neon and how they get revenue and how they derive revenue from their earnings. And from there, I think they came to a conclusion that Citinion's expected to see a 3-year compound annual growth rate earnings per share of 180% between 2015 to 2018. So I think they're quite bullish on Citinion.
So we know that they're quite bullish on Citinion. And I think this talks of a larger story of Star Media Group diversifying their business.
Yes.
And is it on the issue of, you know, print not enough, or they just want to grow their business outright?
Okay, so Star has several branches under its business, right? So it's got its print side, it's got its radio side, it's got now its events side. So from the article that you're pointing out, that you wrote, Joyce, is it seems to me that the event side is doing pretty well. But what are the other sides?
I think the event side is Star's star.
We just got a headline.
but I think, I was thinking about that headline last
week.
But I think the event side is their bright spot. For a time, it actually brought in some earnings, but recently, if you look at their earnings for 1Q, the revenue rose I'm talking about event side. It rose 10%, but they still had losses, but it narrowed. It narrowed from 5 million last year to 1.76 million this year. So that narrowed. Print for Star saw lower earnings. Other businesses saw lower earnings.
But there's also mentioned on the ADEX that might rise because of the the summer games.
Yes, 2Q,
there's UEFA and Olympics.
Yes.
But if you're looking at sustainability, ADEX has been falling, and I think now, I don't know, I guess if you're banking on the consumer side, perhaps that's something more than, you know, banking on advertisers coming in, or
I think they take fate in their own hands now, because, you know, if they intensify their business in terms of exhibition and so on, it really means that they are going to aggravate sales on their own end. ADEX, however, they still have to rely on the industry and whether or not the industry wants to advertise themselves. And I think they don't like, I'm putting words,
these are speculations,
these are my own words. They don't want to rely just on how the industry behaves at a particular moment in time. They want to take things in their own hands.
That's a smart move, diversifying
that
way.
I think they recognize the fact that they have to diversify. They started, you know, going into things like that, even websites and like online.
Well, Joyce, I think at the end of last year wrote an interesting piece about Star's radio assets, right? So I think in December last year, you wrote that Star Media Group is said to be in talks to hive off its radio station Capital FM, and Astro was reportedly keen at that point in time. So again, part of that bigger story of Star moving away from its traditional media side, looking perhaps more into entertainment, into the event space.
Yes, I think I'm pretty sure it's very obvious that the management recognizes the fact that they have to diversify out of print. Of course, print is still, the margins are still a lot better. I think events margins could be a bit narrow according to media analysts.
Oh, okay.
Depending on, compared to print.
Right.
Yeah.
I would also like to know how they're going to monetize their website, because late last week, the Malaysian Digital Association and Comscore Incorporated did say that the Star Online is the top news portal for the month of March. And whether or not they can actually see some monetization from this, per capita, I think it would be a lot cheaper, and the margins could be a lot huge, because it's cheaper to run an online portal than, say,
I have to give props to their online site, though. It is fairly quickly updated.
Yeah,
quite
comprehensive. Online is huge, but I think not just that. I mean, globally, like media companies have, they need to figure out how to monetize.
Mm.
You know, turn the eyeballs into money. I mean revenue, because you can get the eyeballs, but revenue-wise, I still think margins for print, like the traditional media, is still a lot better than the new ones,
yeah,
right?
It makes sense, actually.
And
while they get a lot of eyeballs on, say, the Star Online, the margins there might be a bit thinner than compared to print.
What about the radio assets, Joyce?
Did
you manage to, get any updates on the radio assets?
Okay, I was working on the Citinion story, I followed up with my contacts who had shared with me the story on the radio one that I wrote on in December last year, and they said there's no update. as of now. But I'm pretty sure they're in talks. They are keen to sell the radio asset because Media Prima sold two radio assets last year for $20 million. So it's good money. Because I think radio, when I spoke to media analysts when I was working on the radio story, they mentioned that radio is when it comes to advertising. Yes. Radio sentiments may be bad for advertisement, but some people still prefer radio because it's the reach and when it comes to sentiment, this is what the analyst told me, consumer and ADAC sentiments may be bad, but advertisers will not move away from radio as a cheaper platform than TV and print. So, yeah, so there you go. Radio is...
But radio is also targeted towards demography. I think it's clear that it's easy to single out the kind of listeners that listens to different radio stations.
But you know, with the radio business, you can always change the format if you buy over a station. It's the license.
Yes,
that's what's important.
Yes, that is.
Because that's, you know... that's the real asset behind a radio station. You can buy over a station, change the format, but you've got the license.
Just like when you buy over a technology company, it's not necessarily the products, it's the IP rights that those companies have, the underlying asset that these companies have.
Yes. I think the analyst, he mentioned to me that Malaysians spend about nearly 16 hours a week listening to their preferred radio stations.
16 hours?
Yes, that's what the media analyst mentioned
to me. That sounds like
what
we have to listen to.
You know, it makes sense because let's divide 16 divided by 5.
It's the traffic jam.
It's the traffic
jam. Yeah. So it's going
an hour and a half
coming
to
back.
And fro.
That's right. And apparently, a Nielsen RAM survey revealed that 79% of radio listeners live in the urban area, and 62% are under the age of 40.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm. That's, I think, a really nice tie-in. I mean, if Star can figure out their radio side and their event side, right?
They have two other stations that are very popular. The 988, the Chinese station,
that's right.
And Surya, I think, Surya FM? Malay language Surya FM, that's also really popular. So I think those two they'll keep.
They might keep for that, right? Yeah. But I mean, you know, I think it's a... For me, I'm really curious to see what Star will come up with the City Neon side of business of their business. I mean, could we see a Comic Con being held in Malaysia?
They're in talks for more IPs, apparently.
For more than what at the moment. So we're talking about like DC.
I mean, it's just speculation, but they are in talks.
I love speculation, by the way. Okay.
tell.
Yes.
But I mean, if they get more IPs, that's good for them. I mean, City Neon, depending on what IPs, I think.
So I think the only two big things left is DC Comics and Star Wars. So assuming they can bag these two, I think they're going to just up their sales tremendously.
I would so go as Princess Leia. So we spoke earlier about City Neon, or the Star Group's subsidiary City Neon, in talks to hold exhibitions in new markets. But now let's move on to another interesting story that you wrote last week, Joyce, about Old Town. Now, I'm fascinated that you chose to focus on Old Town because this is a stock that is starting to look quite attractive at the moment.
We ran this story, I think, on May 23rd. Mm-hmm. I was working on it for a few weeks before that because I heard that the company hired investment bankers to look at a corporate exercise for it, possibly could include the entry of new substantial shareholder or maybe even potential privatization. But that's all speculation.
Okay.
So I've been trying to get the company for a few weeks, I think 2 weeks plus 3 weeks. Emailed them, called them, but... They did not want to respond to our questions.
Okay.
So we asked around and anyhow, but we did not... The main story was more anchored on the stock and the company as a whole because we realized that the stock has dropped so much that it's trading at that time when we ran the story at a PR of 14 times and by comparison to the other companies in the region that are in the FMCG
side?
Industry... that's really low because like the rest, like Oishi Group in Thailand, it's 18.92 times and you have Singapore's BreadTalk that was trading at 40 times.
But then again, right, Old Town is such a specific business, right?
Yes,
it's,
right.
I mean, there's no, I would say no peer in that FMCG category.
Yes, that's right. But I mean, if you compare it to Bloomberg and you speak to analysts, this is what they say because you can't really compare it like apple to apple for sure. But just look at industry specific than the rest of it.
No, yeah. Instant coffee. Yeah. Listed.
So I think the story about Old Town is the segregation between their store business and the way they do what they call manufacturing of beverages, the 3-in-1 or the 2-in-1 that you can find at the supermarkets. And of course, the share between these two kind of segments actually shifted over the years. And what is interesting, Joyce, from your article, it shows that the PBT, or the profit before tax for manufacturing of beverages, actually shot up year on year from 58% last year to 58% in 2014 to 64% in 2015. And in contrast, the cafe chain has dropped from 43% in 2014 to 35%. So I think, is it the story of cost being high in operating stores? And one thing also important to note, that they have increased their stores numbers over the years in terms of countries, in terms of the actual number, from, you know, a mere 75 or 100 stores, let's say, you know, but close to 8 or 9 years ago, to close to 250 stores today.
Yeah, they've been expanding a lot. They went into Singapore, Indonesia, China, Australia last year, 2015, with one shop.
Wow.
So they've been venturing out.
Australia.
Would you say that Old Town was the first kind of white coffee joints?
Yeah,
do you
one
ever
of
think
the,
about that?
Yeah, I think so. One of the first.
I don't know whether they are in fact the first, but they're the ones that come to mind immediately when I think.
That started this concept.
Yeah, that kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah. Yeah, but also when we ran, when I was working on the story, I noticed that they had a nice net cash position. They had like 137 million as at December 31st. And at that time, when I was working on a story, I spoke to some analysts and they mentioned that, oh, the management might declare special dividends. And okay. I think they did this week.
Okay, so they are clearly sitting on a nice cash pile right there. And whether or not this might mean M&As, you know, they might want to look at that as an option,
I think,
to
more
grow.
I think more of a corporate exercise, but because we don't have any clear details from them, it remains to be seen.
No, yes,
because of these, you know, potential special dividend, which I think is also declared today, Alliance DBS Research and many other research papers are actually quite optimistic about this company. And one thing that is important to note, this company is, of course, Sharia compliant. And I think we cover this whole notion every morning. Mm-hmm. We had the breakfast grill this morning on Sharia compliancy. Even some of the businesses news that we covered, the EPF, for instance, wants to look for more Sharia assets. And since Old Town is Sharia compliant, I think this will attract a whole array of investors altogether. One thing to note, the Star, for instance, has just been classified as Sharia compliant as well. And
oh, the Star.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's a contrast between, say, you know, FMCG or media. So Sharia compliance actually breeds more area of investment.
There's a list that comes out. I think SC publishes the list. Star was taken out before, and then recently went back into the list.
Ah, so that's so we can do a little bit more homework why it was taken out previously.
But I think there are some points to they have to
hit,
adhere
right?
to.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
So does that mean that they now have institutional investors like EPF, Tabung Haji, all have now the option of investing into these stocks as Sharia compliant?
Absolutely, why not? Because
what is the reasoning for wanting to be on this list, right?
Yeah.
The Sharia compliant
list? You have access to a lot more, I guess, investors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, we've read so often that EPF CEO Dato' Sharil keeps on saying that Sharia assets are not much. Being listed as a Sharia compliant asset means that you open up for investments, you know, to big guys like EPF.
I just coming back to the Old Town story, Joyce. I'm just curious to know what the what you think the story is here going forward. You have sources telling you that there might be in talks with investment bankers at the moment. What will you be watching out for when it comes to Old Town?
I think potential M&A. The company has mentioned to analysts that they're looking at M&A from the point of view of, I think they might want to acquire assets. But what I heard was investment bankers are also working on maybe the stock or the company, like corporate exercise.
Uh-huh.
But like recently today, as Ibrahim mentioned, Alliance quite bullish on it. They just upped the target price to 210 today from 170.
Uh-huh.
So imagine, yeah, on a percentage basis, that's huge actually. 20, 50 cent out of 170.
Yeah, 20 over percent up. Like, yeah, I need to do the calculations, but yeah, it's quite
a
big.
Got you, Joyce. So I got you. 30%. There you go.
30%. There you go.
Just
out
of the target
price,
basic just like that.
Basic mathematics doesn't fail
well,
me.
Yes. What they're saying is that they think the group should trade at an average PE of 16 times because it's back on a growth path. Because if you look at the regional peers valuation, 21 times. So quite a sweet deal there.
Yes.
There we go. We'll have to keep an eye on
run
what's
run to your
brewing.
Nearest, you know, old town.
For some instant coffee.
And log on to their free Wi-Fi.
Okay, it's 9:58 right now. Thank you so much, Joyce editor of associate editor with the Edge Media Group. I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Saini for Pressing Matters on the Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.